Our text comes from the first chapter of Mark, especially these verses. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, if there was ever anyone who didn't need to repent, anyone who didn't need to find John out in the wilderness, anyone who didn't need to be baptized, it was our Lord Jesus, the perfect, sinless Son of God, God in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, whose birth we just recalled, holy and spotless. In Matthew's Gospel, John himself expresses the same sentiment when he says to Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And yet here we are, commemorating the baptism of our Lord. So the natural question is, why? Why was Jesus baptized? Well, the short answer is, he was baptized for you. This morning, I'd like to consider two ways in which Jesus' baptism matters for us. The first way we discover as we reflect on the scene of the actual baptism itself. We just sang in the last two verses of that hymn a story, a picture of what that scene looked like. By outward appearances, this was certainly no ordinary baptism. John the Baptist had been baptizing people in the wilderness for some time now, and I guarantee that none of those baptisms looked like this one. It is appropriate that we celebrate the baptism of our Lord the first Sunday after the Epiphany. After all, the season of Epiphany is about how Jesus reveals to us who he really is. And at Jesus' baptism, we get quite the revealing. The most important aspect of this revealing is the picture we see of the Trinity. At Jesus' baptism, God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son, in the person of Jesus coming up out of the water, being physically baptized by John in the Jordan. The Father speaking from heaven and accompanying the words of the Father, the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove. This is our God. There is no other God. Any God other than Father, Son, and Spirit is a false one. And this God is shown to us in this beautiful way through the words of the evangelists. And the words of the Father should leave no doubt in our mind who this person, who this Jesus really is. "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." This is not a Son of God in the way that you and I are each children of God. This is the Son of God, God in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, begotten of his Father. And notice what the Father says to Jesus after he's baptized. "With you, I am well pleased." The Father is well pleased with the Son, because the Son is fulfilling the will of his Father. Jesus was circumcised. He was presented in the temple. He attended Passover. He submitted to his parents. And now he is baptized, all in the fulfillment of the Father's will. And remember, the Father would say these same words about the Son on the Mount of Transfiguration shortly before Jesus' crucifixion. Another grand revealing of who Jesus is and what he has come to do. And the cross is the ultimate reason why the Father sent the Son, so that he would be the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. And the Father vindicates the Son by raising him from the dead that first Easter morning. And so that's the first reason that Jesus' baptism is important to us, God revealing himself to us, showing that Jesus comes to do the will of the Father. But as we reflect on that will, the Father's will, Jesus being the Father's beloved Son because he perfectly fulfills God's will, it should cause us to pause, to consider our own fulfillment of the will of God the Father. And as we reflect on our own sinfulness, we realize that we do not fulfill the Father's will the same way that Jesus does. On account of our sin, God should never say to you or me, "With you, I am well pleased." Because what is there in us that is pleasing to God? Oh, we think we're pretty good. We think we're better than other people. We think this sin or that sin doesn't negate all the good things that we do. We think that we keep the will of the Father sometimes, so that's good enough. We may say to ourselves, "Well, I'm not perfect, but who is?" We think that God is pleased with us because, as the Pharisee says in the parable, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." But what is the measure of our holiness? With what scale is our goodness accounted in God's eyes? Well, a good guide might be the life of Jesus. Hold up your life and compare it to his. He who had no lust or hatred or covetousness or envy or pride or gluttony, he who subjected himself to his earthly father and mother, he who never lied or stole or sought another's harm, he who was always loving, joyful, peaceable, patient, kind, good, gentle, self-controlled, hold up your life to his if you dare. You will find it lacking, grossly lacking. According to our nature, God has no reason to be pleased with you or with me. Which brings us to the second reason that Jesus was baptized for you. He was baptized to institute baptism for you. His perfect life has sanctified the waters of baptism for you, not so you could fulfill some new law. Baptism isn't your work. It isn't the work of any human being. You were baptized into the name of the triune God. It is therefore, it is God's baptism. No matter who poured the water over your head, God baptized you. In your baptism, your sins are forgiven. Repentance then is a returning to your baptism. Luther says this in the Large Catechism. He says, "Repent, therefore. Repentance is nothing else than a return and an approach to baptism, to resume and practice what has earlier been begun but abandoned. Baptism overcomes and takes away sin and daily strengthens the new person and always endures and remains until we pass out of this misery into eternal glory." This is why Jesus was baptized, so you may see what a glorious thing your baptism is. In Jesus' baptism, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus as a dove, and in your baptism, the heavens opened. You became a citizen of heaven, and the Holy Spirit came upon you. In baptism, the Father spoke from heaven to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And in your baptism, God makes the same declaration. You are a beloved child of the Father. With you, the Father is well pleased. Why? Not because you have fulfilled the will of the Father, but because Jesus has. And Jesus gives you his righteousness. He clothes you with it in your baptism. As St. Paul reminds us in our epistle lesson, we have been united to the death and the resurrection of Jesus through baptism. We are all members of the same family, united in Christ. And that unity goes way beyond the unities of this world. It goes beyond political affiliations or common interests. God actually unites people who otherwise might have nothing in common, united by a common faith, as we confessed it in the Creed, united in the faith that we share in our Lord Jesus Christ. And thus, we live out our lives as baptized people, people who have been called out of the darkness and the greed and the violence of this world, people who have a new home, a heavenly one, people who live by faith and not by sight, people who know that we can't rely on what we see or what we hear or our feelings or our emotions, but we rely on Christ. We rely that we are His because He has made us His in baptism. We are people who do seek to fulfill the will of our Heavenly Father, and when we fail, we return to Him in contrition and repentance, remembering our baptisms. We fear not the evil of this world. We are baptized into the name of the one who has overcome the world. We fear not death, because God has baptized us. As Luther writes, "For if Christ, by the touch of his most innocent flesh, has hallowed all waters, yes, even all creation through baptism, how much more has he, by the same touch of his most innocent flesh and blood, sanctified every form of death, all suffering and loss, every curse and shame, for the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of Christ's blood." That is to say, that because God has baptized us into the baptism of Jesus, we have defeated all of God's enemies, all of our enemies, sin, death, and the devil, because Jesus has defeated them for us. Our sin no longer separates us from God. The devil has been utterly routed by Jesus. And physical death is but the entrance into eternal life. All of this because Jesus was baptized for you, that you might be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.